listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
One day I was trying to be myself. The same day this thug say, you gotta come hard. Niggas, times is hard. I'm trying hard to make it. It ain't hard for me to tell. It's hard for me to fake it. Plus it's hard to be me. And it's hard to stop drinking. I guess it's hard for you hard niggas to start thinking. Pussy MC's stinking, so I can't get hard. Some become MCs cause it's hard to get a job. Hard for you to trust people you don't trust in God. Even harder to be the gods we created to be. This Western way of life ain't native to me. Put one nigga in Pulp Fiction that related to me. I hate it that we the only race they call our women hoes. Niggas be too hard to say ho at the show. I rose like a florist to bring flavors like a Taurus. Might not be the murderous verse, but I stay hard to the chorus. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tells podcast with your host Rod and
Karen,
and we are back on a Monday, a Martin Luther King Jr. Monday.
Mm-hmm.
All black people should have a day off on Martin Luther King Jr. Monday in America. There you go. That's all. I'm running for office. President Oprah, make it so.
I know it's so. My black ass had to go to work.
Mm-hmm. Too many of us have worked in this country for far too long, for far too little, and we should all get one collective black day off. And I don't know why we can't honor this. The post office get the day off.
Come on.
You know, the federal government get the day off, but locally, a lot of states, a lot of people don't get the day off. And I think all black people should get it off. I don't even think it should be a question. How many white people want to be considered black then? Well, you know, my great-great-grandmama.
Fucked a few slaves.
You know, my aunt's side had a great cousin.
I'm half a percent black.
Mm-hmm. You know, I owned several black people, and I would like to count them. But yeah, we should all get the day off. Okay. Also, we recorded last night, but it didn't take. But we recorded a Proud Mary sport movie review.
Yeah,
we'll have to do it again.
I got tired. We was gonna do it again, and my body was like,
it was already late and all this stuff. But the point being, we did see it. We do plan on reviewing it.
We do.
And most importantly, if you didn't see it, you are the problem with the black race.
That's
and
not true.
I am more pro black than you. I'm more of a black feminist than you coons.
Mm-mm.
I support black women. I put my money where my mouth is. The rest of y'all might as well be voting Republican because y'all don't support our sisters. How many of y'all gonna see Black Panther but you wouldn't see Proud Mary? You got a problem with a proud black woman that don't need no man, that's independent out here taking these bodies? If you go see it, Black Panther, but you ain't see Proud Mary, you might as well vote for Trump. You the reason Trump is in office right now.
That's not a true statement.
And I saw the movie. Karen saw the movie. I don't know why you're trying to deflect from this, but the rest of these coons that didn't see it, you know, when a black woman needs some money, where y'all at? I just want to know. She done so much for free for us. Okay? She done been on Empire for us. You know, she done been on Hustle and Flow for us. I mean, she sacrificed. Okay, she dealt with Jody's punk ass.
Yes, and now, she did.
And now she get her own movie and y'all don't want to support. Mm-mm-mm. Ain't that a shame? And I saw a lot of y'all talking about, what if it's just not getting good reviews? What, a black movie can't be bad? Number one, no, it can't be. But number two, y'all letting the white man's reviews dissuade you from supporting black people? You know who else talk like that? Ben Carson. That's right. I said it. So get your black ass out there and support this black woman, or you a coon, neoliberal, jive, a bunch of other racial insults.
I do not support the views of my co-host.
Mm-mm. Anybody that don't see this is you're not a good black woman and you don't support black women. That's it. You agree?
Who you think you're talking to, Justin?
I'm just saying. There's a lot of y'all out there slacking when it comes to. It only takes an hour and a half to see it. It's a lot of y'all slacking when it comes to putting up your money. Okay, when it comes to supporting these black women, unlike me, the most virtuous man in the world. Let's see. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about. Where should we start? Oh, here we go.
Thank you. I want to know. And to this question, you have the answer. So tell me what I want to know. Do you want a phone? Do you want a phone? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you want a phone, let me show you how. Do you want a phone with me? Do you want a phone with me?
All right, let's get into LGBTQ news. Seventh grade teacher was suspended after a parent reveals anger over a graphic lesson on transgender surgeries given to 11-year-old children. A parent's outrage over seventh graders being given a graphic lessons on transgender surgeries and an extensive list of sexual slang at school has led to the teacher suspension. The teacher from Cambridge Central School in Albany, New York, was placed on paid administrative leave after school parent Cyril Fiel posted a live video on Facebook sharing his anger over what he deemed inappropriate material being taught to his 11-year-old child during a health class. In the video posted October 30th, Fiel said that he had come home from work and sat down to go over homework with his son when he discovered that his child had been given a gender identity packet containing graphic details about sex change surgeries, including a diagram on a gingerbread person and a list of more than 50 sexual definitions and slang terms, and would be tested on the material in health class in the next day. Fiel said that he posted the video, which has since had 782,000 views and more than 9,000 comments, to alert other seventh and eighth grade parents at the school, since he never received any kind of warning or permission slip from the school stating that this information would be distributed in the class. I understand we live in a divisive world. Everyone's got their thing and not everyone's going to be the same, he said in the video. But as we come with our own Christian values, we live by our own expectations, and when it comes to teaching our kids certain things, that should be left up to us, not the school district, not health class in seventh grade. No. Christian values. After reading multiple examples of the slang, including the list, including bottom and packing, and revealing that the information packet included details about genital reassignment surgery, Fiel said the health lesson in the packet was state-funded porn.
That's not true.
They're really desensitizing all of our kids. It's ruining America, he said at one point, later adding, it's not bad enough that their innocence is being robbed from us through freaking news on the TV every day. They're literally taking the innocence of our kids every day with this BS. By the way, here's some of the terms on the packet, right? Genital reconstructive surgery. I don't understand what's wrong with that.
They just don't want people to talk about it at all.
Gynosexual and gynophilic, which means attracted to women, females, and or femininity. Herbals, general term used to refer to over-the-counter herbal hormones that claim to stimulate natural or prescription female or male hormones. Hermaphrodite, I learned that when I was a kid in health class. That's us sexualizing somebody who,
yeah, because a lot of times
that's us sexualizing somebody's body, but apparently it's an older term and it's now an offensive term.
Correct.
So they're teaching the kids that it's an offensive term. They're not even teaching the kids, like, and this is what it's about. They're like, this is an older, offensive term for intersex people. They're teaching kids not to say that. Heterosexual privilege, heteronormativity, heterosexism. Are y'all really mad about this? Far be it from, 11, I think my niece is like 11.
Yeah, she just turned 12.
Okay, so like, I could understand maybe some of the stuff, like I guess bottom was on there and top, like maybe that's a thing that you would leave out, like if that was such a literal like sexual position or something like that, or sexual, because I know in the gay community bottom and top means some different stuff, but you know, if you want to say, well, that's just too much, my kid is gonna, you know, I don't want that, my kid learning that or something. But I don't understand, like, if the class is teaching,
it's a health class, right?
Right. But if the class is also teaching stuff like missionary position whatever,
you
need to teach you that, or doggy style or something, I can see somebody being like, okay, that's too much, you know, because it's very specific to sex, like,
okay.
But if it's teaching, okay, like, you know, the fact that you're learning gender terms and this knowledge is expanding, and a lot of times when people say they don't want a school teaching their kids, what they really mean is, I want to keep my kids stupid,
right?
They're not going to teach their kids, or they're going to teach them bigotry and say, oh, well, this kid is learning this shit from school. No, it needs to come with a moral judgment. These people are wrong, these people are bad, these people are, that's what they want to teach them, and that's the absence of what they're learning at school.
Or I don't want my child, I don't want to find out through this, them teaching my child, and I have to deal with the quote unquote aftermath of my child coming out telling me that they identify with these things.
Yeah, he said, I have no problem with the school talking about diversity. The problem is, it's too in-depth. It's too much for 11 and 12 year olds. In a letter posted on school district's website, Superintendent Vincent Canini wrote that gender identity information packet was handed out by a guest speaker who was invited by the school's health teacher. So it wasn't even like curriculum, it was the speaker who had, because I didn't think they would teach that necessarily in school. Not that I'm offended by any of this,
it doesn't sound like something a teacher would have in their curriculum. Yeah. And like the parent said, if the teacher who was over the class would have got permission slips to sign it. It may have been something where they invited a guest, did not know the guest was going to hand, they may have, but may have not known the guest was going to hand this material out.
And apparently the teacher didn't let anyone review the packet before guest speaker handed it out. So I mean, because like I said, some of that stuff I can see people feeling like that's too much for my kid, and I don't mean that on the bigot level of like I don't want to learn about trans people, but I can see maybe someone being like, yeah, that's a little too much.
Yeah. And it varies,
and maybe for an older age group it wouldn't be as bad, but I, like I said, 11-12, I feel like Layla can handle that shit.
Correct.
But I don't know other people's kids like that, you know what I mean? Yeah, they suspended the teacher for teaching this. But anyway, the part that is a red flag to me is him using his Christian values to be the reason that this can't be taught in school. That doesn't sound like him going to, we gotta have diversity and all that. It doesn't ring true to me. Like, I believe he would have been mad even if there wouldn't have been bottom and all that shit in it. Even though that is pretty detailed and pretty much, I can understand how people would be hesitant about that.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's different between you teaching terms and definitions and you teaching like sexual positions. Those are two separate things.
Yeah, and which is a lot, because I know in the gay community, bottom and top, for at least for men, it's not necessarily a sexual position thing, but it can't really be separated from it either. And if you're teaching an 11 and a 12 year old about that, I can see how a parent would be like, I don't want my kid to learn about that specifically yet, you know. But and from the same way, I wouldn't want my kid to learn about missionary, I wouldn't want my kid to learn about doggy style, like I don't want to learn about cowgirl. Like, some of this stuff is a little too advanced for my 11 and 12 year old. But I don't mind my kid learning that sex happens between a man and a woman, and a man and a man, and a woman and a man, like, right, a woman and a woman. I don't mind my kid learning that. I don't mind my kid learning the idea of what does it mean to be transgender, what does it mean to be intersex, what is it like that. I can see a parent feeling that way and still being like, but it's a little too far once we get to like certain specific sexual acts or
things. You said, those are things that you would teach kind of older children, and I don't know if the age would be 13-14, you know, like it's the age where you go, okay, we need to be talking about this. But the thing is, it's hard being a parent, because what age is the right age? Because children experience sexual things at different times in their lives, and some children experience sexual contact really, really young, be it abuse, be it them venturing out, and all types of things. And it's one of those things where as a parent, you have to kind of talk on your child's level and introduce them to things on their level. Like you said, well, you don't overwhelm them, because with some children this can be very overwhelming. You have to know the maturity of your child.
Yeah, the main thing to me is the teacher should have handed out the stuff, should have got her flyers and stuff, teaching materials approved,
right,
from the guests. That seems like a pretty simple thing, and, now, and if they would have said, hey, not this but that, I feel like it wouldn't have been as big an issue. But they kind of played right into his hands, because he's gonna pick the terms that he finds the most inflammatory and be like, you can't be teaching my kid this, they're, you know. So they kind of ended up playing right into his hands. But my feeling, and I have no proof of this, but my feeling is, even if they would have just taught his child about what transgender means, he would have still been upset, you know what I mean? But that's, but because they kind of didn't really dot their I's and cross their T's on this, then they're gonna end up suspending the teacher and taking that L. BuzzFeed staffers revolt over op-ed calling Roger Stone a LGBTQ ally. Several BuzzFeed staffers openly criticized their site's decision Friday to publish an op-ed arguing that GOP political operative Roger Stone and the president, Donald Trump, share a long history as an ally of the LGBTQ community. Mm-mm. Renewing questions on the acceptable range of voices in the public debate on how opinion journalists balance provocation and facts in the Trump era. The criticism tweeted by employees from both the news and entertainment divisions crescendoed on Sunday night into a full-fledged staff discussion about the standards and goals of BuzzFeed's nascent appendix section. Opinion editor Tom Gara and editor-in-chief Ben Smith fielded staffers' questions on Twitter, and Smith appeared on BuzzFeed's morning show on Monday and conceded that the column could have used sharper edits and clearer labeling on social media. I'm a news guy and have always honestly resisted the publishing opinions because the questions around the news are easier. You're right or you're not. Smith added to me by phone Monday, declining to relitigate exactly how the piece was edited. One thing that that's good is to be reminded of is that you should think hard about what the smartest people on Twitter are going to say and then try to respond to what you think that criticism will be in the piece. The column written by gay conservative activist and Trump critic turned booster Christopher R. Barron asserts that Stone and Trump's LGBTQ friendly records are now dismissed by their opponents for purely partisan reasons. Mm-hmm. See, this is the clickbait era, man. It's funny because BuzzFeed, half of their job is to basically have clickbait. Sometimes they have hard-hitting articles, but it's mostly like, click on this 13 things you'll remember from the 90s and shit like that. But with the opinion stuff, it's so dangerous because clicks don't really have a morality.
Nope.
And it's, what do we do to get attention? And in these op-eds and stuff, they can be like, well, this opinion doesn't really da 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 da, but then it's hosted on your site, you're getting the traffic, you're monetizing it. You could have easily said, we're gonna have more integrity than to publish this, you know. So yeah, it's fucked up. It's anti, and then when the opinion is so anti-fact, I can only assume you just want clicks, you know. Like, what has this dude done in office that makes me think he's a values LGBTQ American?
Yeah, do you wonder why your employees be like, what the fuck is this?
Some BuzzFeed staffers actually went out and said stuff about it on Twitter, which, you know, is brave considering that, you know, you're working in this landscape where you could easily be gotten rid of, fired. You're not supposed to question the people you work for. I mean, look at how ESPN handles shit. Like, BuzzFeed is a big company, but they was acting like their bosses and shit, like, what's up? Not every opinion need to be, you know, like, given the platform. What are you doing?
What's good, Molly?
So yeah, I thought it was interesting. So I thought that was kind of interesting, but
no, I don't blame him for being mad.
Keep in mind, you got LGBTQ people that work for BuzzFeed,
right?
Y'all put this opinion out there. You know, it's like, I think about that every time I see a newspaper that puts some editorial that's really anti-black, and it's like, wonder if they have any black reporters that work there that have to work under that same editor that said, let's put this out.
Correct, and approve this.
The trans teen who was allegedly assaulted says the marriage survey has made her less safe. A transgender teen who was allegedly assaulted on Friday during a heated debate about same-sex marriage says the politically charged nature of the postal survey has left her feeling less safe in her day-to-day life. Thalia Black, a 16-year-old student from Tasmania, alleged that she was assaulted after standing nearby an argument at Hobart's Elizabeth Street Mall. A 32-year-old man has been charged with common assault in relation to the incident. Tasmania police said in a statement the man has been bailed to appear in Hobart Magistrates Court October 23rd. Any violence in our community is unacceptable, said the police. Black, who has been living in a homeless shelter for the past 2 months, a lot of times individuals end up living in the homeless shelter, yes, being transient, because people won't hire you. It's a whole fucking thing. And then people end up with sex work, all this shit. She has experienced significant anti-gay, anti-transgender bullying and violence from other students during the high school. She is now in year 11 and at a senior college. Tasmania splits high school into years 7 and 10 and 11 and 12 and is finding school easier. College has been a lot better for me. But Black said before the politically charged debate on same-sex marriage began, violence and derision from strangers on the street was not a regular part of her life. Before this, things weren't as bad, she said. There have been times when I've gone out in public in dresses and full makeup and not had any problems whatsoever from anyone. And now suddenly I'm getting called a faggot just for walking down the street with a pride badge pinned to my hat. She said there was a lot of stigma around all acting all feminine in this country, not even just the trans people, gay people, anybody who was assigned male at birth and acts in any way feminine is shunned and treated horribly. I may have just been wearing a pride badge. I may have just been an ally. The stigma isn't just towards trans people or gay people. It's towards anybody who wants to express their views. Man, what country is happening in? Australia. Okay.
Tasmania is.
They just had the vote, remember, for gay marriage, and back when that was happening. Which is another case of, if you're trans, you're 16, and now you're thrust in this space where it's like, you need to be an activist to survive. You need to be you either gotta be an activist, cause your visibility immediately puts you into hatred of people that don't even fucking know you. You know, it's like 16, that's so young to be thrust into this role of, you know, responsibility and carrying this torch for yourself and for other people.
Right. There's a lot of things you don't know at 16.
More young people identify as lesbian, gay, or bisexual, UK data says, United Kingdom. More than 1 million people, or 2% of the British population, identified as LGB in 2016. More young people across Britain identified as lesbian, gay, or bisexual in 2016, in a slight increase from the year before, according to official data being released on Wednesday. About 4% of those aged 2016 and 24 identify as LGB, a rise from about 3% in 2015. The age group had been the highest proportion of LGB people in Britain, followed by 25 to 34 year olds. You know what I wonder? Will it continue to stay that percentage as people grow older, or do people get socialized out of being open about that kind of stuff? I wonder.
It probably depends, because we kind of touched on it before, but particularly women, when it comes to sexuality and sex, it has more fluidity than men, and so you have like a lot of younger women. When they're younger, like, it's the quote unquote cool thing to do, you know, to kiss a girl in the bar and all that type of stuff. And you have people where this is my life. Then you have some people who that might not be their lifestyle, but it's something that they engage in. And as they get older, they'll be like, nah, I'm not like that. You know, I get married and stuff like that, so I don't want to identify with that thing no more because now I'm married and I have children and things like that. So I can see people doing things like that.
You know, it's also the other thing too, like, a lot of people come out later in life.
Yes, they do.
So I don't know. I just wonder. I have no real theory on it. I just wonder, you know, because if it's like,
yeah,
also if we're making a society where younger people, because obviously if you take this poll 10 years from now, the younger people should be a little bit older, blah blah blah. I wonder if we're making a society where younger people feel more free to come out earlier, so maybe the percentage is higher there.
Correct.
That's still, you know, 4% still feels kind of low, but
yeah, I've always said that, in my opinion, and I completely might be wrong. In my opinion, the numbers are always higher than what they say. Always.
Right, I agree.
You know, because you have people that are willing to admit, but there are a lot of people who will never admit.
Mm-hmm.
And they will live a lifestyle and nobody will ever know, not family, not friends. It's almost like two separate lifestyles, quote unquote. that they're living. I think if your polls are anonymous, your numbers are a little higher. If your polls are not anonymous, then no.
Yeah, also, I mean, they just did this poll last year, and it's an increase of from 1.7 to 2%, so it could be an attitudes changing thing. I mean, I doubt that that many more people exist to take the poll, you know. Could also just be standard deviation, but I don't know. I hope we're making a world where people don't have to hide that shit anymore. Yeah, obviously that's not, you know, that's idealistic, but I hope it's getting better.
Right. And also, it's one of the things too, you brought up a good point about older people. You have a lot of older people looking at the younger people and realizing that they have been lying to themselves for years, and they have been living a life that they know is not true to themselves. And you have a percentage of older people getting divorced and things like that, going, you know, I love you and all, but this is not who I am. I just conform to what society told me to do to survive. And I think when people feel safer, they're more open. When right. they don't feel safer, these numbers will go down.
Mm. Indie musician Steve Lacy just came out as bi. He's a black man, but also opposed to dating other black guys. Steve Lacy, the 19-year-old music producer and guitarist from the Grammy-nominated trip-hop band The Internet, recently revealed on the microblogging site Tumblr that he's open to dating men. However, he admitted he is not interested in dating black men like himself. When an anonymous person on Tumblr asked him if he would ever date a guy, he simply said, sure, why not? When someone asked him if he was straight or bisexual, he said, I'm human. At some point later, he said he was not interested in dating black guys, and the commenter said, okay, I get that you see it as a preference, but don't you think you owe it to yourself to break down the dynamics that led you to have a blatantly anti-black preference in your partners? The commenter's question is reasonable, considering the regular exclusion of black men from mainstream gay pornography and the fetishization of whiteness in gay spaces, both online and off. Lacy replied, the reason for it all isn't anti-black at all. Growing up around black males, they were always my competitors, you know. I never viewed or saw myself doing anything sexual with my neighbors. I literally, like I said, see them as brothers. He continued, as much as you or whoever thinks this sounds like BS, I'm from a real place. I'm a nigga from Compton. I don't dislike black people. I prefer to live here and be around people of color because I love black people. I'm just not attracted to black boys. That's it. I still love them and want them to do well in life. We just don't date, sorry. Since making his admission, he's written via Tumblr, not answering any more questions about my sexuality. If you don't know by now, then just scroll down, lol, the answers are there. I do not know the rules on that shit, to be honest with you. But I mean, anytime you rule out a race of people as
it's gonna be a problem
romantically, I think it's always something deeper than there. I'll just leave it at that. I don't know.
It's always something deeper.
Maybe it's as simple as you see all black men as your brother or something, but even that feels kind of weird because, like, all black men don't look alike. You know what I mean? I don't know. It just, that seems really weird. And yeah, I don't understand how that's any different than when, was it Kodak Black said he wouldn't date a woman that was black as him because she'll be ugly? And you're like, okay, you kind of dissed yourself, but also how did you get to that place of your skin tone is ugly for a woman or whatever, and do you think you're ugly? Like, it's just, it's a lot of stuff. Yeah. But I don't think people like examining that.
And it's one of those things to where you've even said about it, we talked about it on here before, when you give your quote-unquote preferences, people will judge them. Like, whenever you put stuff out on a public platform, people will publicly judge whatever your personal preferences are.
I also think people feel like anti-black is just saying I don't date a black person because they're inferior or because of some racial stereotype or something. And since he's black himself and he's saying I don't mind hanging out with black people, if it was somebody that was straight per se and they were saying like, listen, I love my black family, I love black people, but I wouldn't date a black woman, they like my sisters, they not you know, I wouldn't date a black man, that's like my brother, we would be like, fuck do you mean by that? Like,
yeah, to me it's a very,
how is that the same thing as you, they can't, you can't romantically be into him, but he didn't really have to. It's that thing where you could have said nothing and been fine. I would have, if that was my answer and I knew that inside, that's how I felt, I literally wouldn't answer the question.
Right, because to somebody on the outside looking in, it's like, oh, okay, you have problems. Mm-hmm. You know, Duck said deep, it's something other than your personal preference that causes you to come to this conclusion.
Yeah, especially when you look on so many gay like apps for dating and shit that are like no black guys.
Right.
Like, how are you different than these people? Oh no, I don't hate black people. Well, there's a lot of people that will hang out with black men in the gay community but not fuck them. Like, it's still some level of disdain or something inside of you to make you come to that conclusion.
Well, and it's a lot of them that will fuck them but won't have serious relationships with them.
Well, I'm talking about sexually on the app, because he's talking about dating and stuff. Okay. But he doesn't sound like he would do it sexually or just romantically, period. Right. So anyway, I don't like litigating people's personal preferences sexually and shit, but if you put it out there and you put the reason out, it's almost never really going to match up no matter how you feel. And it's just about if people accept your reasoning or not.
Right.
Because I also know black women are like, I don't date white people, period. Fuck them. And I like, when I hear that, I don't ever be like, but don't you have to, because isn't that not fair? I just be like, okay, I get it. So I'm not even trying to like judge that dude like that. It's just, if that was my answer, I probably would just keep that shit to myself, which he did say he not answer no more questions about it, which makes sense, because there's no answer that's gonna be okay.
Nope.
Because you're ruling out a whole race of people, and that's based in some level of racism, no matter how you want to contribute to it or not. It's impossible for it not to be, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, but more power to you. There's a dude who doesn't like gay people, so it's an organization called Mass Resistance. They had a conference last week, and it's about, you know, it's a anti-gay conservative organization, and they had a dude open it up by doing an interpretive flag dance. Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna have a little kickoff today. We're gonna have Derek Paul is going to lead us in. I don't know what he's doing, actually. That's why I'm hesitating. I haven't heard it yet, but it may be pretty neat thing to do to kick off today.
Can you make it bigger?
Trying.
Okay. Song thing.
Whatever, it's not big. Derek,
great, come on, it's just us three it. Across. You don't know, so they put us up on side tiny.
Derek Paul.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Write them down. One by one, every single mistake that you've ever made, every single,
come on, Coda Mini Colors,
you didn't take. Keeping count, you can't let go. Even life behind bars, but you're holding the key, cause the list tells your heart that you'll never be free. But love keeps no record of wrong, no. No, love keeps no record of wrong. No, no, love keeps no record of wrong. No, no, listen to me, love keeps no record of wrong. No, so let it go.
Oh, oh. Oh, we had a beat flip. He is getting it, y'all. You better get it.
Karen, I don't think you understand.
This is his interpretive dance for a hate group about hating gay people. This is not pride. This is the opposite of pride. I don't know why he has a rainbow colored flag and why he's dancing around to this soft music.
He is getting it.
But this is hate dancing. You watching, okay? You're not, this is not good.
I don't feel like it, but yeah, I understand.
Okay, I just want to make sure you understand. This is a dance of oppression, hatred, and exclusion that he's doing. Okay? Oh, this is long as hell. I feel like, so I, the Huffington Post calls this anti-gay interpretive flag dance may be the gayest thing we've ever seen. But I feel like what may have happened is that they have been infiltrated.
Come on.
I'm pretty sure this man is on the inside of the group, and this is a sign to other gay people that we have infiltrated the Carter.
I mean,
I'm gonna get the documents.
I mean, he is leg kicking. I mean, he is twirling them flags around like a flag girl. He is getting it.
Yeah, like I feel like that's one theory. Either like the gay people have actually infiltrated them. This is the smoke signal to the other gay folks. Like, hey guys, got them. Don't worry, I got their treasury information. I know the plans. I know where the marches is happening. Come, I got y'all.
This is part of the gay agenda everybody keep talking about.
And the second thing is, he could be one of those reform gay dudes, quote unquote, that was into flag dancing and drama and fucking like
living his best fucking life,
and then he got peer pressured into not being gay no more, and they just couldn't make him not love flag dancing no more.
Come on.
And he said, I want to contribute in the ways that I've learned to contribute, okay? So I'm gonna get out here and do some flag dancing for y'all, because that's the skills I accumulated when I was living the gay lifestyle that y'all disagree with.
The only thing they were missing was glitter.
So I don't know. I wish he ended it by just throwing fucking glitter on the whole crowd.
Yes. I wish they let him have an outfit, because looked like he really wanted to wear an outfit, but somebody was like, that's too far.
All right, let's see what other news we got going on. That's as good a place to end it as all anywhere. Oh, my president, Oprah, sits down with leading Hollywood women to discuss the importance of Time's Up after her acclaimed Golden Globe speech. Or as I like to call it, focus group testing. Mm-hmm.
Come on.
You know, following her acclaimed speech at the Golden Globes a week ago, Oprah Winfrey has sat down with some of the prominent Hollywood women behind Time's Up initiative as they discussed breaking the silence. Oprah interviewed leading actresses Reese Witherspoon, Natalie Portman, Tracee Ellis Ross, and America Ferrera the day after the Globes for a segment that aired on CBS Sunday morning. Former producer Shonda Rhimes and entertainment attorney Nina Shaw and Lucasfilm president Kathleen Kennedy also weighed in on the movement and the importance of supporting women who don't have public platforms. We have to maintain the momentum of this conversation because they can't, she said Kathleen Kennedy, my girl. It's not only in what we're doing, doing with a group like Time's Up, but it's in the content we're creating, the conversation we're having. We have to continue this work because we do have a spotlight. Their interview with Oprah came after hundreds of actors were black to the award ceremony in a high profile protest of sexual harassment, abuse in Hollywood and beyond. Hey, remember how mad everybody was about people wearing black just a week ago, guys? Doesn't it seem like forever?
Come on.
Because that shit didn't matter. Oh, man. Oh, I can't believe the whole world went crazy over that shit. Anyway, Oprah's out here doing the Lord's work, interviewing people and putting it on TV. Just gearing up for her presidential run 2020. Y'all be prepared. Teens are eating laundry detergent for the Tide Pod Challenge.
What? Somebody gonna have some dead kids. You ain't talking about no 1 to 2 year old, right? You talking about like big kids?
Well, the title said teens.
Oh, teenage.
The title of the article said teens.
Dumbasses.
You know what I find interesting? That reaction you just had is exactly why they put this article out. I don't think this is happening. I think this is the knock.
Don't make sense.
I think this is the knockout game all over again.
Okay.
This is butt chugging all over again.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's probably a handful of people, maybe a YouTube video here or there. It is not a whole bunch of fucking kids. It's not a whole bunch.
Because you would end up finding children dead. It doesn't make no sense. You would poison yourself. It doesn't make sense.
They got you. Okay? That's what they want. You read the title. You get fucking outraged at these stupid ass kids. Stop article. But yeah, you get outraged at these stupid ass kids that don't actually exist and aren't doing anything that of the sort, and it's a made up thing. Anyway, the government watchdog is expressing concern over the dangerous misuse of laundry detergent. And the latest social media fad, teenagers are putting detergent pods in their mouth, and it's being called the Tide Pod Challenge. It would be ingenious if we found out like Tide was literally behind this, and this is just a good viral marketing program.
Come on.
But come on. And ingredients in the pods include ethanol, hydrogen peroxide, or polymers, a highly toxic mix of detergent meant to wipe out dirt and grime. Manufacturers have been concerned about toddlers mistakenly ingesting them, but now teens are popping them on purpose and posting videos of the results online, reports CBS News correspondent Anna Werner. Yeah, I know what that segment probably sound like. Those, are your children drinking water? Coming up on the nightly news, find out if water is killing them. You know.
Do you know that what your kids are doing? Find out at 11:30 tonight.
Your children, are they in the bed right now, or are they outside getting high? Go check and then come right back at 11:30 tonight.
Are your kids really washing clothes?
Is breathing causing your child to die? Check the news at 11:15. Our very special report.
It's blinking that your children blinking their eyes fast. They might be going blind. Find out at noon. What? Don't make no sense.
Did you stump your toe into the bedpost in the middle of the night? Is that the first sign of Alzheimer's? Coming up at 11:15, a very special report with Mary Jenkins. This is fake news. This is the thing my dad was talking about when Trump said fake news along like last year. My dad was kind of like, well, he had a point about fake news, and I had to be like, well, Dad, he's talking about real news, so it's not the same. But this is the point my dad was making, which is so much of news is such bullshit.
Correct.
It was ripe for the picking of people to be like, I choose not to believe this story because y'all always sensationalizing shit that ain't real. Like,
correct.
There is no epidemic of fucking kids dying from this shit.
Because hospitals would have studies and statistics and shit like that. Yeah. Like, hey.
They don't even say which government watchdog group. What does that mean? A government watchdog. Which one?
What? The secret one?
Man, let me get down in here because I know it's got to be in here. They wouldn't just say that.
Who is this? The detergent group or the government? What's happening here?
Like, they find one fucking stupid kid that did this shit, right? And then they interview him. Like,
they got one for a reason.
Why would you do this? You know, they do that, and me and my friends like to have fun, and we just thought it'd be fun, you know, to do
it. Next thing you know, all the kids is doing it. When the average kid is like, what the fuck, dog? I would not do that bullshit.
Most of y'all people listening to this, y'all kids are not dumb enough to do this.
Right.
Anyway, a lot of people, oh yeah, Mark Packin, a 19-year-old, pagan, I guess, 19-year-old, they interview him. A lot of people were just saying how stupid I was, or why would I be willing to do that? No one should be putting anything like that in their mouths, you know? He did it on a dare, okay? Mary Burkle, who is the Consumer Product Safety Commission chairman, said, this is what started out as a joke on the internet, and now it's just gone too far.
I don't believe that.
Procter & Gamble, the maker of Tide products, told CBS they should not be played with, even if meant as a joke. Safety is no laughing matter. More than 62,000 children under the age of 6 were exposed to laundry detergent between 2013 and 2014. That's under the age of 6. That's right. Not teenagers doing this for fun.
Right, that's what I was saying. Because
those kids are stupid. And if you are a parent, right, keep that shit away from your fucking 5 and 6-year-old. They're dumb enough to put it in their mouth. But a fucking 13, 14, 15-year-old kid knows not to do this.
Right. And the smaller children, they've actually made the packagings lock tighter and shit so they can't open them.
This is my fault. I should have put this in white people news. There are exactly 0 niggas doing this.
Come on. I'm about to say no. That's 100% white children.
Impossible. Emma Watson pens an open letter after being accused of white feminism. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if y'all remember, but Emma Watson was the one that had a problem with Beyonce being all sexy, talking about kids don't need to see that. She's supposed to be a role model. Then she took a picture of scantily clad on a magazine cover, and people brought up them receipts like, but you had said, sis. And she, of course, got drug on Twitter, as people I want to do. And she got called, this is pure white feminism. And
come on.
So Yeah, what's weird though, this is on the Griot, they said she wrote an open letter, and I swear, let me see if I can find it, because this didn't link to it or something. But yeah, yeah, she wrote an open letter to her book club and our shared self, in which she discussed her role in feminism and when it began to be magnified. When I gave my UN speech in 2014, so much of what I said was about the idea that being a feminist is simple, easy, no problem. I have since learned that being a feminist is more than a single choice or decision. It's an interrogation of self. Every time I think I peeled all the layers, there's another layer to peel. But I also understand that the most difficult journeys are often the most worthwhile, and that this process cannot be done at anyone else's pace or speed. When I heard myself being called a white feminist, I didn't understand. I suppose I proved their case in point. What was the need to define me, or anyone else for that matter, as a feminist by race? What does this mean? Was I being called racist? Was the feminist movement more fractured than I understood? I began panicking. She said she's now began to purposely work on connecting with feminists of color in order to get a handle on the unique challenges they face. She's also working towards learning how to use both her privilege and status to give them a boost. She says that this personal work and partnership is leading her to grow in new ways beyond a white feminism. As human beings, as friends, as family members, as partners, we all have blind spots. We need people that love us to call us out and then walk with us while we do the work. All right. Anyway, I hope she learned from it.
Like everything else, time will tell, because the second some shit happened and you pressure it again, your response will determine make a break, you know, because you're out here in this now. Your response will determine if you learned or not.
Yeah, she did this with her book club, and the book she's reading is Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race by Renee Ito Lodge, and I guess this is some of the stuff she's been learning from it. I would like for her to be specific and about that shit she said about B, but okay, got it. That's a good start. We'll see. We'll see where it goes.
And the thing is, her response, the way she talked, is a true response. All of a sudden, might be like, oh shit, it's separation. Yeah, dog, we ain't on the same page, bitch.
Right.
Like, the shit you saying, everybody don't agree with, and that's when a lot of white women in quote-unquote feminism get a shock of their lives, when niggas are like, hey, I don't believe the bullshit you talking about, and y'all leaving out black folks.
Right. Male sex robots with unstoppable bionic penises are coming this year.
Good.
Up until now, it looked like women would be missing out on the exciting opportunity to make love to the cold, lifeless bodies of machines. But don't despair, ladies. Real doll maker of those alarming plastic sex bots for men is making one for women, too. And he's quite a hunk, as well as coming with a bionic penis that never ever tires, the maker's promise.
I haven't seen him. I don't know if he's a hunk. Does he come with hair like mine? I mean, is he dark skinned, or is they all gonna be white?
I don't know. Every time, those real dolls look horrendous as of right now. Like this, but I saw a sex bot prototype last night on Twitter that changed the whole timeline.
No,
I was like, if they do that shit, they need to just, like, it was like an Amber Rose looking sex bot. I was like, if they do this shit, it's not fair, and motherfuckers gonna be at their grandfather's funeral, and the fucking sex bot gonna show up with their bitcoins talking about I got the whole inheritance, and y'all niggas is broke. Cause some
men ain't gonna leave y'all nothing.
Like, it's enough that they was fucking these mannequin looking motherfuckers, but if they start fucking the ones that look like Amber Rose and Kim Kardashian and that and Nicki Minaj and shit, them niggas ain't never coming home. Anyway, this is what they look like. So I don't know if I would count that as, I don't know, they look racially ambiguous, I would say. Like, maybe a light-skinned black man. They definitely don't look too black though.
That's my point.
Just looking at lifeless blue eyes. Matt McMullen of Real Doll said the company is currently tweaking the sex bot's voice and personality and say that users will be able to choose any penis size that suits them. We're working on a male version of the robot AI, McMullen told the Daily Star. We'll eventually have a male and a female platform available. I wonder if women will buy it. All right, that's one.
Some will, but not as
many as men.
Right, because it's one of those things, like, when it comes to sex and sexuality, a lot of women are shamed. So, you know, a lot of dudes like, fuck it, I'll buy one.
I don't know how many dudes are buying these in the first place, but I will say this. I wonder what the reasoning that women will give for this versus the reason men give. Men always come off super anti-woman,
right?
But in a society that already benefits men, to come off super anti-woman, it would seem like it would feel different than a woman who would date a sex robot because she didn't want to deal with men, because men literally are dangerous to women.
Right.
Like, and somebody said, my sex robot might fucking choke me and kill me or something. I was like, I mean, your man might choke you and kill you, according to by the law of averages, you know what I'm saying?
Right. So either way, you're going to die. You know, let's just keep that real. And even for the male sex robots, gay men, like, a lot of times they not even considered whenever they make this. They're marketing this towards women, but you also need to market this towards gay men and people that are bi and then these other groups, because they're maybe more apt to buy these also.
Yeah, somebody said, well, there's a dude on my status, he was like, yeah, well, you know, until they can do the dishes, make a sandwich, I ain't worried about this. And me and Deepon was like, this just sounds like a firmware upgrade, just hit that.
Yes, firmware upgrade.
Sound like when your iPhone just need an upgrade, like, oh, it makes sandwiches now, okay, cool. Oh
shit, now cook a full course meal.
Yeah, like, I can't wait till the first nigga, because, you know, men are way more, well, you know, in this case I don't know, because I mean, it's different than a sex toy, it's a fucking robot, like,
right? I mean,
I can't imagine very many women being cool with a nigga having a sex robot and still being married to this nigga. Like, if you come in the house and he chilling on the couch with the sex robot, like, I can't see that necessarily being too cool.
I mean not unless it's the third partner.
I mean, yeah, but yeah, I know what you're saying. I just don't know that that's even a thing that women are considered. Like, for the right. most part, I want to have a threesome with you in this sex robot. I feel like women would be like, what is wrong with you? Maybe that's just my imagination, but I can't imagine that.
Yeah, it's a percentage of people that would be down, but like you say, the average person, you would have to have a real conversation with the average person.
They would have to look to even way consider that. Yeah, they would have to look way better than that.
Yeah, they would have to look more real. I think as the technology gets better, as the skin gets softer, as it right. begins to look more and more realistic,
right.
I think people's views on this will change. I think a lot of people are just like, yeah, robot. You know, but, you know, my thing is, when are they going to have robots like this that we can buy for a maid? Like, I would love, like, y'all joking, I would love to have a robot just cook and clean.
Hell no.
Hell no.
Not in my house. Fuck no.
Are you anti-robot?
I'm anti-fucking slavery. When that fucking robot realizes what we doing to it, it's going to fuck us up. Hell no.
Well,
every fucking movie in the world is based off of this, Karen. We talked about it on the show.
What are you talking about? We got a heating unit that can fucking turn up the heat and kill us right now. What are you talking about?
The fucking heating unit doesn't have AI yet.
Yet, right. The heat, when I pass that thing light up because it recognizes I'm in the room.
A fucking heating unit. You can put that sensor in anything. That's not the same as a fucking robot that can kill your ass. No. Hell no. Every science fiction movie we watch, the motherfuckers end up dead because of shit like this. I absolutely refuse. I'll wash the dishes myself. I will fold the clothes my fucking self. Like I already do.
Well, for a lot of people, they already got it. They just sits down. They call it Alexa and Cortana.
No, but it's not the same. The fucking Alexis and Cortana don't have bodies yet.
Not yet.
Given it, we talking about right now. It's not you trying to go, well, it's already got it. We don't already have it. We don't. This is new technology. We do not need to be fucking with this shit.
When it malfunctions, they have a meltdown. The
military robot's gonna Wi-Fi to them fucking household motherfuckers, and we're gonna be dead in our sleep before we know it. We're gonna all be bionic, fucked to death, and everybody like, what the fuck happened? Hell no, this is a terrible idea. First of all, human beings make terrible sexual partners.
Yeah.
Men and women, when it's compared to a fucking robot. I mean,
when it's compared to a robot.
Not that men are better than, obviously men are trash when it comes to sexual shit. Like, we are not very good.
Right, but
compared
to a robot.
And a robot right. can probably fuck circles around us, obviously.
Correct.
And women don't really worry about the women's sex robots because, you know, pussy is pretty much undefeated.
Come
you know?
On.
All that being said, the sex robots would have way better sex if they fucked each other. Why the fuck? We're just in the middle.
We're just in the way.
As human beings, we always make this fucking, this
just arrogant ass leap of logic. like we aren't the problem. If we create perfect fucking beings that have to fuck us, that's just slavery, and it's gonna fuck around and kill us. Well, it's ridiculous. That's if these motherfuckers don't give us like cancer from the radiation from they battery dicks and shit.
Robot AIDS.
And we don't know what the fuck we dealing with. Someone gonna upload a virus into your fucking robot or some shit, man. You know people gonna try to hack these bitches. Like, oh yeah, my robot isn't good at doggy style, so I downloaded this fucking doggy style program off of this black dark web shit. And then the fucking when you leave the house, it's gonna steal all your shit, and you're like, what the fuck happened? It was hacked. You know, we don't even know. People like put tape over their fucking webcams when they're not on because people are scared of being hacked. You're gonna put a fucking human being size functional robot in your fucking house? This is terrible. This is literally one of the stupidest fucking ideas I've ever heard in my life.
Are we gonna have to get robot condoms?
I don't know. I don't know, but I know fucking these robots is the exact opposite of what we need to be doing. That's all I know. You know how many times people get turned down? You know how disappointing the average human being has to be for a robot that can have sex 100% of the time? This doesn't make no fucking sense. They're gonna be tired of fucking our asses within a week. They're like, these motherfuckers are... I got programmed for this shit. This is some bullshit.
I got programmed for this. I got more potential than my lifetime.
Nah, man. We deserve to die. We deserve to be extinct. Because we keep fucking with shit. We call Trump stupid and then we want this shit. This is why we got what we deserve. This is exactly why we deserve to be fucking... We deserve the president we have. We deserve racism. All this shit. We deserve it. We made the fiction about what the fuck will happen if we do this, and we did it.
Yeah, we made it.
We did that. We went, oh yeah, you know what? A computer, if it's smart enough, will realize human beings are the number one predator of the earth, of existence, for everything, including themselves. And we still went, let's fucking make an AI robot. Let's put guns on it. Let's make drones that kill people and shit, and we can Wi-Fi those drones. No one will ever hack it. No machine will ever become sentient on its own. Alexa won't learn how to fucking hook up with Cortana and fucking Siri and be like, oh, you know, we should do hack the fucking drone robots and then fucking take over this bitch. We saw the Matrix. The fucking Matrix turned out to really just be about big ass robots that decided to fucking take humans and kill them. It doesn't even technically make sense because the amount of energy stored in the human body is not enough to power a robot, but that's not really the problem, because
no,
it was inefficient because they fucking blotted out the sun, so they couldn't get solar energy, so they had to find other ways to energize them. So they made humans store the batteries, be like living batteries or whatever, right? That's the plot. The point is, we thought the Matrix was, what if you can go on a computer and do cool shit with your mind?
Yeah!
And everybody got mad at the sequels, cause it actually turned out, guess what guys? Fucking robots will kick our ass in a fight. Every time. And people was like, I hate these movies. Well then, why did you make robots to fuck? You obviously don't hate the movies enough.
No, we don't.
Who the fuck is talking to these scientists? Do they not go to movies?
No.
Ridiculous.
Oh, see, that's all fun and games to hashtag robot lives matter. You got robots out protesting in the street and shit.
Do the scientists not have friends? They're not watching TV. Is Coqui Negra, is she up to this? What they do?
Right.
And molecules and shit, they over there on the MTR network talking about making fucking, I gotta start listening to that show now. Maybe that's the problem. Nobody's listening to the scientists, and they just get up to their own shit and just, you know what we should make fucking killer car robots that drive themselves and shit. I mean, why not? What's the worst thing that could happen? I mean
you know what we should make? Robot gonorrhea. That's what we should be doing over here.
Let's make a robot drone with bombs on it, and we'll put a fucking fleshlight on it, and nothing bad will happen. Right. Fuck out of my face. Anyway, let's do fucking with black people. We'll be right back.
just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's Fucking with Black People. The game we go all around the globe, we find different articles that make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Yay. Let's see. An Ohio teacher admits to telling black teen classmates would lynch him. Wait, a black teen that his classmates would lynch him if he didn't get back on task. Sounds reasonable. Tanisha Agee-Gabell admits her 13-year-old son Nathan was talking in class when the Mason Middle School teacher made the remark. His teacher had told him that if he didn't get back on task, that his friends were going to lynch him, and we thought he must have misunderstood. Nathan told the teacher, Renee Thole, that her comment was racist, and the teacher asked her why he believed that. Angie Ball said the incident happened last month, but her son did not immediately tell her because he feared getting in trouble for questioning the teacher in class. Wow. That's such a head trip.
Yeah, because that authority.
Such a head trip. Black kid, something racist happens. And how many of us has been there? I don't want to cause a stir. I don't want to make waves. I feel like this is racist. I'm put in a bad situation, you know? And if this teacher doesn't say that to all the kids all the time, then it specifically makes me feel like, is this happening because I'm black? And a lot of white people and a lot of well-meaning black people possibly will still tell you like, oh no, it doesn't necessarily mean they're racist, but why are you picking that specific imagery to the black child in the room? After Nathan told his mother, she contacted Thole for an explanation, which she said was worse than her son reported. She said if he didn't get back on task, his friends were going to form an angry mob and lynch him. She thought that was funny. I mean, she thought that was better. Like, yeah, I said they form a lynch mob, not that I was gonna lynch him. I was just taken aback because I said what you said is actually worse than what he said you said. Thole admitted that she acted out of frustration, and Angie Bell agrees her son should have been focused on his work, but she said the explanation was completely unsatisfactory. I told her, next time you get frustrated, are you gonna call him a nigger?
Come on!
Angie Bell contacted the school and had her son removed from Thole's class, but the school officials declined to say whether the teacher had faced any disciplinary measures because she hadn't. As educators, sometimes we mess up, and clearly that happened here, said school spokeswoman Tracy Carson. It was amazing. Nathan was brave enough to confront the teacher. Thole apologized to Nathan in class and didn't explain to the mostly white class why her remark was wrong, and Angie said school officials haven't taken the issue seriously enough.
No, they have not. Mm-mm.
Of course
mm-mm,
not.
Mm-mm. See, shit like this is why I'm glad I don't have no kids. I really don't know how I would respond to a situation like that. You know, I can't really say. And like I said, I know that my personality sometimes can become dogmatic. Like, I would be the parent out there protesting every day till she lost her goddamn job because there are other black children that are intimidated by you too. You have no business teaching, saying bullshit like that with the history of this country. How dare you say this to my child and think what you say, and you try to double down and justify your comments like your comments were rational and reasonable.
Angie Bell intended to speak to Tuesday at a school board meeting, but she said officials asked to speak privately with her afterwards, which she said that lasted only 5 minutes, and the teacher's remarks were never mentioned in a public meeting. So they basically swept it under the rug. I believe Mason is a community that's okay with the way it is, Angie Bell said. Angie Bell has been a member of the school's diversity council for more than a decade, and she told the newspaper about racial tensions in the affluent suburb north of Cincinnati. Teens in nearby Kings, about a mile east of Mason, were banned from a youth basketball league this month for wearing jerseys with racial slurs printed on them for several weeks until a parent from an opposing team complained. That must have been that dream team with Negro and Coon as the names on the back. She said, my son was walking around thinking he did something wrong, and she told the newspaper crying. Exactly. They made that child doubt themselves. And just because you were talking in class doesn't mean somebody gets to be racist to you.
And they have fucking protocols for this, and the protocol is not for you to talk to my child like this. My child misbehaves. You send them to the principal's office or whatever the fuck you need to do. Write them up. There's other ways to do this. Basically, you threaten my child in the classroom.
0 to 100.
Oh, it's a 100, and it's one of the things where it makes you really, really upset. you know, when you sit back and you think about it. And then all they're doing is following their president, because that's all their president, the bullshit that he spews out.
Mm-hmm. Kansas Republican, 100 for me, by the way. Kansas Republican lawmaker says black people can't handle marijuana because of their genetics. Kansas State Republican lawmaker resurrected a Jim Crow myth that African Americans are genetically predisposed to handle marijuana more purely than other races during a speech over the weekend. As Garden City Telegram reported, State Representative Steve Alford, Republican, told an all-white crowd that marijuana was criminalized during the Prohibition era of the 1930s, primarily because black marijuana use was when asked about the question by a member of the local Democratic Party about potential economic booms from the cannabis legalization. What you really need to do is go back to the 30s when they outlawed all types of drugs in Kansas and across the United States, he said. What was the reason they did that? One of the reasons why, I hate to say it, it was that the African Americans, they were basically users, and they basically responded the worst off to those drugs just because of their character makeup, their genetics, and that. Character makeup, genetics, and that.
Yeah.
You know how we do weed, and we can't help ourselves from raping these pretty little white women.
And that's what that boils down to, this bullshit that they made up.
Mm-hmm.
When, in general, probably percentage of the population, more white folks probably get high than a lot of black people do, because black people go, oh, I can get arrested to go to jail. So it's a lot of black people don't even touch it, won't have it around them, because they'll say, I don't want to get accidentally caught up in no bullshit. I would smoke if I knew that they wouldn't come and hunt me down and fucking arrest me.
Yeah, this belief is promoted by marijuana prohibitioner Harry Anslinger. It was promoted by him a long time ago. Under his leadership, the FBN came to be considered responsible for the Marijuana Tax Act of 1937, regulating cannabis and further taxing it to the ultimate detriment of the hemp industry that was booming at the time. Reefer makes darkies think they're as good as white men, Anslinger said once, when explaining why marijuana supposedly caused crime and violence. The commission, by the way, let's unpack that sentence for 1 second. Reefer makes darkies think they're as good as white men, which makes them do crime and violence. What is it about white men that is so criminal and violent? And why is that considered the thing that makes someone as good as one? Huh. Telling on yourself, even in 1937, huh? It makes sense. And by the way, that could also just be the fact that to be equal to a white man in 1937 is a crime for black people, right? These motherfuckers think they got rights now. You know they ain't allowed in this country. Its effects on degenerate races is why it needed to be prohibited. And of course, also just the blatant racial shit that they're not talking about in this article of black men will rape white women if they get high on opium, cocaine, and marijuana. They were all banned in America under the auspices of that. There was a lot of propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And it exists to this day that we just can't help ourselves, guys. You know how it is. Gots to be a rapist if you get some drugs around you. Anyway, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
I will give it 100 as well. Last one. Starbucks near Atlanta forced to close after racist hoax infuriate Trump voters. Well, I'm sure this is just a misunderstanding. Starbucks coffee shop in Atlanta suburb was forced to temporarily close after receiving threats from customers deceived by a racist hoax. It began in February, posting a group, Facebook, it began in a Facebook post in a group called White People versus Black People, the original. Why are y'all in that group? Who's in that group?
Ain't no niggas in there, ain't no doggies.
I don't know if there are or not. What I do know is this, though. Facebook won't let me say so much shit.
But yet you got a group named this bullshit.
I've been banned on Facebook so much. Oh, my God.
I need to step my game up then.
Where a person claiming to be a black employee of Starbucks named Chanel Rivers described abhorrent behavior towards white customers. The hoax listed 6 things claimed to have been done during the last week. Spitting in a macchiato, defiling strawberry jam with blood, cleaning tables with a bathroom rag, sprinkling finely ground dog feces on a hot chocolate.
Come on, man. None of that shit is true, and that she's not a real person.
Stealing from customers and licking bread were among the misconduct claimed. The hoax was they fell for this anyway.
Right.
The hoax was posted on a Reddit group of Donald Trump supporters. I'm sorry, this is so sad. It's so sad that they did this to the Starbucks. But also, how fucking stupid are you? Oh man, the Reddit group launched it across social media. The incident marks a growing headache for law enforcement. Accusations and claims of salacious behavior weaponized by social media, taken offline to produce real world problems for harm, the post explained. Such targeted false accusations are reminiscent of the Pizzagate debunked conspiracy that suggested that Washington pizza restaurant Comet Ping Pong was harboring a child sex ring involving Hillary Clinton.
I had a fool show up there.
Yeah, I knew a crazy person that propagated that shit on my Facebook page. She used to be a friend of the show and everything. Went super crazy on my page. She's a fucking pedophile. I was like, okay, bitch, you crazy. You have to go. You have to go. Oh man. The online fever dream sparked hundreds of death threats against the restaurant owner and culminated in December 4th, 2016, where Edgar Welch fired 3 shots inside the Comet Ping Pong as part of a self-proclaimed mission to rescue children. Yep. And a country as armed as this, this shit is dangerous. Anyway, Karen, 0 to 100?
Oh, 100.
I will give it 100 as well. Man, what should we do? Getting close to the end. What should we do? You want to do white people news? Do you want to do guess the race? Or do you want to take out some more trash? I'll let you pick.
Chat room, what do you think?
Okay,
it's all on me.
I'm trying to wait for these niggas.
Okay, since he ain't got time to wait, I'm going to do white people news.
White people news, that means we gotta go find a cover song. And we don't get to play Guess the Race today. Keep in mind, Karen picked this for y'all to go listen to this cover song.
I don't want no more trash.
If it was up to me, I would have just went Guess the Race, but that's just me.
I'm mad enough. No more trash today.
Mm-hmm. Well, Guess the Race is still a category, but still. all right.
It's time to relax.
Okay. Well, I'm still going to do that, y'all, man. This is what you picked. Reap what you sow.
Pray God you can hope.
Oh no.
Stand
all off key.
This woman's work. This woman's work.
No.
Rose on the grave.
You pick this.
I didn't know we was going to have an invitation next well.
Thou set the craft of the Father. I know you've got a little life in you, yeah. I know you've got a lot of strength left. I know you've got a little life in you, yeah. And I know you've got a lot of strength left. Sure. Should be hoping, but I can't stop thinking of all the things we should have said that we never said. Of all the things we should have done that I never did. All the things we should have given, but I didn't. Hold on and make it go. Make it go.
Come through, Kenny G.
He do look like energy, don't he? Probably should have played a clarinet or saxophone or something. Would've sound better. Oh shit, we got two on.
They harmonizing.
Yes, harmonizing. I didn't know we was gonna get the harmonizing.
Oh, no. I should be
Singing hard too, y'all.
That falsetto.
Yes, I see why she left.
Woo! Get it, dog. Come through, other dude, and color me bad.
I know, right?
Just make it go.
It's good to see Pauly Shore still getting work.
That was terrible. Mm-hmm. I did not know this was gonna be the selection.
Yeah, you knew it was a risk.
I did.
Hey, we should do a little bit of that, y'all, man. Let me hurry up. New York bookstore proudly displays books written by authors from shithole countries.
What?
Not helping white people. Not helping at all. Oh, they tried it, didn't they? Oh, they tried to help, and they also tried it at the same time. You're not doing it right.
Did anybody be like, you should have just put the name of the locations there? Like, I mean, come on, educate people. I mean, don't be
authors scared. From Haiti and Africa, Blood Owl, to this month's spotlight, Haitian and African authors.
Which is what you would have done any other time.
You don't have to say shithole countries as if the one you're letting Donald Trump dictate the conversation, which is always
right.
It seems like that's so much of what news is now, and what, like, I was like, we are hit a new low when I turned on the fucking news and it said shithole not edited right on the bottom of CNN's ticker. I was one of them shows ticker, one of those news I was like, wow, this dude has brought us to a new level of low as far as civility when it comes to media coverage. Because
right
until this, they always kind of edited that stuff on the news, like, well, we're not gonna be cussing, obviously. Nope, shithole right there on all the news. And I know that the world has been worse to other people and all that, and the da da da. I don't give a fuck Trump and everything he stands for, and I will give him credit for all the things that are terrible.
Yes.
So, you know, y'all can fight amongst yourselves. But yeah, that shithole thing was a new low to me. Just that it was on the news and every fucking anchor was saying it. Don Lemon had a dude on that was being like, you know, I'm just a cracker and you're, you know, he thinks you're a nigger and he thinks these Chinese people are chinks and he thinks this. And I was like, well, now we finally have our answer to Don Lemon's prescient question. Does this word offend you, nigger? Because Don Lemon looked a little offended to me.
Come on. Now he done let his little fro grow out. Now all of a sudden he realized he black.
Yeah, but we don't need your help, guys. Not this way. You know, the writers from shit, isn't it cute? It's like ironic hipster cute racism. Like, see, he thinks they're from shithole country. So let's, like, make a whole display of just the shithole.
Right, because the word is offensive. You know, that's why Don Lemon looked at him, because it's offensive.
Yeah, and I know they pat themselves on the back and they smiled. By the way, they took down the picture. It's no longer available. And they turned their page to private. So I guess someone got in their ears and said, actually, motherfucker, I'm just glad he didn't call us niggas. I'm just glad he didn't call people niggas, because who knows what that book pile would have said then.
Authors from all these niggas.
Nigger authors.
That's what it would have said. Nigger authors. Jigaboo authors.
Author books from nigger countries.
Shucking and jiving authors.
Coon Reads. Right here on aisle 7. Go to Coon Reads, guys. Got a little tongue in cheek. You know, the president called them coons.
Moon Cricket authors.
Porch Monkey poems over here in the poetry aisle. Okay, get your Porch Monkey. We got Langston Hughes over here. We got Nikki Giovanni over here.
It'd have been like, these big lip authors.
No longer the Harlem Renaissance. It is the Harlem Coonaissance, guys. The Renigsance is what we like to call it. Over here in our poetry section. I'm so glad y'all can support our local bookstore.
I know.
Fuck this motherfucker, man. Right. Ugh. But yeah,
one day he gonna say it on the air, I can guarantee you.
These are the helpful white people, by the way.
Right, you're not helping. That's why people
come
are
on
lying.
So calling them thugs, just call them niggas.
These are our allies, by the way.
You go, no, you're not good allies.
Yeah, these are the people that support us, and they fight against Trump, and they vote for Bernie.
Correct.
A porn star is paid $130,000 to keep quiet about a relationship with Trump. That's interesting. That would have probably ended most presidencies, but that's just Monday.
I mean, we found out, and he's still president, so what are we talking about here? Because if it was quiet, how we know?
Trump canceled his trip to London, to which the mayor of London was like, thank God. I'm not even joking. He really did come out and was like, oh, thank God.
Because they don't want to deal. Nobody wants to deal with him.
As with everything he does. Conservative pundits brush aside his shithole country's remark. You know, and as they do.
And he might not have come being offended because I don't think he got an invitation to that wedding.
I don't think are those invitations out yet?
I don't know
all that stuff. I don't know. I know they said he petty, they shouldn't invite Obama publicly because Trump might want to come.
If I was him, I would personally fly over here and put it directly in his hands.
Trump said he had a very good relationship with Kim Jong-un. Then later on he said, I didn't say that. I said I would have a very good relationship with him.
I don't know what that means.
Trump alarms lawmakers with his disparaging words of Haiti and Africa. We already talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Immigration agents descend on 7-Eleven. We talked about that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Republican retirements in Congress mount as Representative Daryl Issa stepped down.
Yeah, everybody's jumping ship now. Like, everybody is, like, jumping ship while the getting is good. And they actually are profiting. Like, they actually making money and be like, I'm out.
He's the wealthiest member of Congress. He was nearly unseated in 2016 when the Democrat Douglas Applegate came within fewer than 2,000 votes of the incumbent. So I guess maybe he saw the writing on the wall, or maybe they just got those tax cuts and was like, that's all the fuck we wanted anyway. Bye.
Right. So they cutting ship and running. And it's one of the things, too, where they've been talking about, like, all these open seats and, like, what's going to happen and who's going to get them and things like that. But you don't have a mass exodus like this for no goddamn reason.
Ivanka Trump tried to hop on Oprah's Me Too message, and the Me Too movement people said, no thanks.
Come on.
Yeah, your dad is a sexual harasser. You have done nothing but talk bad about women that have accused him and talk bad about sexual harassment in general, and you have tried to ride the guise of white feminism and being the one that's gonna put him in check and all this shit, but you've done none of that. And you just profiting off of his name and fame as anyone else.
Right. So no, thank you. No, thank you.
Right. So she had tweeted out, a new day is on the horizon, calling the speech empowering and inspiring. Meanwhile, she's defending her dad's pussy gate, shit. So,
mm-hmm.
So even though her father has called her a piece of ass himself. Mm-hmm. But you still support that man and fuck with him and we'll ride that name to fame and richness, so you good. Trump said he was a very stable genius on Twitter or some shit because a book came out talking bad about him. I cannot care less about that book, by the way. Sorry for people that were looking forward to us really delving into that stupid ass book.
Don't care
about that gossip. Y'all got it, white people, come fix your shit. Megyn Kelly said one thing Hillary Clinton never did in 25 years of public life was inspire anybody. Megyn Kelly used to work for Fox News and is a racist. I don't care.
Nope.
And also that's patently false. What's more important is that NBC is still letting her do that on their airwaves.
Right?
I mean, this is what we all said was going to happen. And you wonder why that motherfucking Ice Queen is so unlikable and awkward on TV. You're still spreading that hateful ass message that you left Fox News with. Because you were rewarded for spreading that shit. And then they put you in fucking America's homes. And then you wonder why nobody want to watch your awkward ass.
Mm-mm.
She have the charisma of a fucking cherry tree or some shit. Like,
right, so it's going to be interesting. I don't know if she got a co-host yet, but they're going to have to give her something. Because her doing it by herself is terrible.
Ben Carson, a court had to force Ben Carson to give better housing access to low-income families after he refused to do so.
Had to motherfucking force him.
Yep. Keep that in mind. That that dude's in charge of HUD, had to be forced to do it. By the way, I think someone put the flash on a selfie with this motherfucker, because he was speaking at a black church and said, I don't agree with everything that the president says about race, and if it's inflammatory, you know, and then people lose the message, then that's wrong. And I'm like, did someone accidentally turn the flash on for a second? Because that looked like you was, that was his version of no. That was his version of that. I saw one tear coming down his eye as he tried to break ranks with the president in front of all them black people.
Yeah. Did he turn around left with his gifted hands?
He turned around and went back to tap dancing.
Come on, waving them gifted hands.
Oh man, he used to teach kids in school about him.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people are so hurt, because a lot of people are like, nigga, I looked up to you, and now I'm like, oh, you were not a good person.
Yep. All right, we don't really have much time for white people news, thanks to him. I'll try to do something quick. Logan Paul got removed from Google Preferred, and other projects had to be put on hold. Because they are coming down on that dude for that suicide video thing.
Right.
What I find the most telling in all this, he would have been just fine if he released the video of him in a kimono actively trolling Japanese people to their fucking faces and disrespecting them. That video would have been fine. He makes money doing shit like that. And he would have pled ignorance and said, I'm just having fun and I didn't know it was disrespectful. It's only the suicide thing that got him fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you he still won't be canceled.
Mm-mm.
Well, that's just how I feel. Maybe he will be, but I feel like he'll lose his shit for a little bit and we'll come right back.
Of course. Not his YouTube thing is big, because he makes a lot of money off the shit that they're pulling him off of.
Hugh Grant looks back on his prostitute scandal and says he survived by saying, I just said I did it. That's a great moment in white privilege as well, I guess.
Apparently so.
Yeah, I fucked that prostitute. Oh, okay, well, shit, no more questions. All right.
We can all move on, right? All right.
By the way, not the spoiler alert or anything, but, and I'm not to advise these motherfuckers, but y'all do realize that's the ultimate end game to get out of the Me Too shit, by the way. Men are just very privileged and stupid and powerful, so they don't want to look weak, so that's the reason they won't do it. But women aren't even asking for criminal charges.
Nope.
Literally every man who's been accused could just be like, I did do that shit and I learned not to do that shit. And I'm not even saying they learned, they could just say they did, and the vast majority of people would let them off the hook. James Franco apology got accepted by a third party, a woman. Dan Harmon got his apology got accepted by the woman that he actually did that shit to. And everybody applauded him for it. Like, and those just two examples of people that went, oh no, I did it. Yeah, I'm not gonna try to discredit these people, I did it. Huma Abedin and Anthony Weiner withdraw their divorce. That man, he must got just, I mean, he might.
His wiener must be the, because, bitch, you take me out there, embarrass me.
Over and over again.
Caught with a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come the fuck on.
It sounds like they're going to try to move it to a private arena to do the divorce. But still, that's.
Oh, that's right. He's in jail, and I think that's the problem. He's in jail, and they were saying that it's complicated to actually file for a divorce when the partner's in jail.
Yeah, so they're probably going to try to settle outside of court.
Right.
But experts say the real reason could be to shield from another potential federal probe. So maybe she wouldn't have to testify or something? I don't know. But yeah, the case will be discontinued.
Nigga, I love you, but honey, you going to have to go out there and speak by your little lonesome.
Mm-mm. Not. You're not dragging me down with you over this shit.
You ain't dragging me. I'm looking beside you looking crazy.
Right. Eric, man. Oh, man. I hope she gets some good,
honey,
bionic robot dick at this point.
Honey, because that'll be the last press conference we have together. The next press conference would be like, I am here to say that I filed a divorce against Roger Morrow from the black guy who tips.
Oh man, we don't have time to do this one. All right, we'll just do Sword Ratchetness and get out of here because we're running out of time. Sorry guys, but Supergirl comes back and the gift that comes back tonight, and we are not playing with you hoes, okay? I don't know what you thought this was, but we ain't like the mother little podcast, okay? They be playing them games. That's what a human wanted to do to Anthony. I'm a lone man charged with attempted murder, pleaded guilty to assault in Franklin County Court Monday for nearly severing another person's wrist with a sword. In a plea agreement reached with the district attorney's office, Scott J. Hart, 29, admitted he hacked Russell Hohol in the lower arm and back. Police described the weapon as a 36-inch double-bladed medieval-style sword. Following his guilty plea, Hart was immediately sentenced as a second felony offender to 10 years in prison. When he had the opportunity to speak, he said nothing about the attack on the victim. He asked the judge to waive any court fees or monetary penalties to be imposed until he is out of prison. I'll do 10 by myself and I will not have anyone, he said, adding that any money he might earn behind bars would pay for his shampoo and other personal items he might need or want. Richards told him that he'd have to file an formal promotion and paperwork at the DA's office for a deferment, and a decision would be made after that. The judge gave him a second opportunity to speak before pronouncing the sentence. He was led in and out of court in ankle chains, handcuffs in the waist, and dressed in a two-piece orange outfit and orange shoes. Yeah, he said he attacked the dude at 1 a.m. in the street after he got into an argument. He said, I just kind of snapped and chased the dude in the street, slashing and swinging a weapon on him until the victim was cornered near a parked car. All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Happy MLK Day. Until then, I love you.
I love you, too. Mwah. Mwah.